But I am John McCarroll. I'm now a freelance software developer. I worked for Multimap.com for 4 years. They were the biggest online mapping provider in the UK. And so they were pretty big. Obviously Google came along and caused some issues, but they were then bought out by Microsoft just over a year ago. So they're now a Microsoft property. I mean, they're still in existence, and they have their own API, which I largely helped to write. And so, they're still having some success, but they're no longer a separate entity. I left there about 6 months ago, so I'm now a freelance, and I've been doing online web development for the past 10 years, but I am a developer. So why do we have OpenStreetMap? Because geodata itself isn't free, open or current, so if you want to get some geodata, if you want to play around with it, do an experiment, you have to pay for it. You have to pay large sums of money for it as well, so it's not free. It's not open, so if you notice a mistake, you can't do anything about it. You can maybe send them an email or submit something, and then 6 months later it might be in the next release, or it might not. And it's not current, so even if you do submit a mistake, it might not be in the next release, and then new buildings are going up all the time, so it's not up to date. So the wiki is the obvious next step. Wikis are great ways of opening data, making it free, making it current. And also, mapping is actually a lot of fun. Stefan, I don't know if you heard, he mentioned that word that I can't begin to pronounce, that means fun, but with a view to improving society. Sesdin Fadda, or something like that. Session this morning. I did write it down, but... So it's similar to that. It is fun, but also you end up helping to create this big map that everybody can use. So we make beautiful maps, which we give away. This is a map of Liverpool, taken just yesterday. So you can see that where it says Liverpool, that's obviously it's the centre of Liverpool. Liverpool extends as far as the blue line at the top right, and then it continues down to the green line. That's sort of the border for Liverpool. South Liverpool is really well mapped. North of the centre is less well mapped, but it's actually looking better now. People have been tracing roads and not necessarily putting all the data in, but so it looks pretty good. I mean, there is plenty of gaps, but you know that's largely from a small number of contributors that made that much data. And here's the first year, or maybe 6 months even, of mapping Liverpool, which essentially I did all of this mapping. And you can see just as the state's going, actually the stuff on the east, on the right hand side, is actually my dad. A little delay, I must have been too busy, and then we should get some more jumping in a second. Oh, maybe that is the first 6 months. We go on to the next slide. This one goes a lot faster. Oh, do that again. But that adds in a lot more detail. It gives you an idea of how much is going on. This was Manchester about 2 years ago, actually. It's the centre of Manchester. I mean, there's the train station.
Yeah.
And then there's no way to walk from the train station to any nearby roads. And then, if you want to get from there to the east, you've got to go all the way around, and it's really not very well covered. Then this was yesterday, I took this again, and there's a lot more roads in there. I mean, again, there's still gaps, but there's a lot more roads in there. It's looking a lot better. You can actually see the venue that on there. If you see the towards the bottom right, Booth Street West, it comes off the Oxford Road. Between Booth Street West and Bridgeford Street is where we are. Now, there should be some footpaths on, though, which are not showing up, that are not there, so when I finish going through the slides, I'll show you how to do some mapping by mapping those footpaths. That's Manchester a bit more zoomed out, so you can kind of see where the more affluent neighbourhoods are from this, because the south and towards the southwest is slightly, would you say, more affluent area than the north? People with more money or with
students,
that sort of thing, are in that whole sort of triangle at the bottom, and then around there it's less, it's more towards the working class and middle class, I guess.
What is the red dots are
train stations, or tram stations, I think, as well. So you can see it's well served by the train network. Then it's not all about the UK, or even the northwest of England. That's Amsterdam, which Amsterdam is essentially now completely mapped, the whole country, because nearly 2 years ago, a company called AND, Automotive Navigation Data, donated their entire data set for Amsterdam, because there was Teleatlas had a similar data set, and Navtech had a similar data set, and it was just a case of there wasn't any real way for them to make money off it, and they would have had to put a lot of effort into maintaining the data, so they just essentially gave up, handed it to OpenStreetMap project. OpenStreetMap could then load this data in, and actually at the time there was some good data in the Netherlands anyway, but they merged the data in the best they could. But now, so the data they got from AND did cover the whole country, but it's mainly road data. It had some points of interest, but it doesn't have footpaths and things like that. So even though they did essentially map the whole country and they got a whole data set, there was still a lot of work to do mapping all the fine detail, which, as you said, OpenStreetMap likes to map. That's Germany then. Germany has been said to be 100% mapped. I think it's more like 95%, and most of the large towns and cities and a lot of the villages are mapped. I mean, I know there was someone who went, like the week after the announcement that it was basically done, someone went to Germany and found a village that hadn't been mapped at all. So it's difficult to say what 100% is when it comes to this. I mean, you've got all the road network and great, but you haven't got footpaths, and then okay. When you've got footpaths, you haven't got the traffic lights and so on. And then that's America. It's quite zoomed in, but the whole of America is mapped in a way, because the American government gives away all the data that the US government creates. They give away the 300 public domain license, so they have Tiger data, which is a public geodata set built up for a census. So every 10 years they do a census, and they have to know where people are to do the census, so they create this data set, and in some areas it's good quality, in some areas it's not, so it's quite variable, but they've loaded the whole data set in, so at least now in the US, if you want to start mapping, there's generally something there for you to build on.
But isn't there also in Germany data you can get from the authorities? I mean, we have it's called Katastan, I don't know how to translate it.
Right.
And they have every single map of every...
Do they give it away for free?
I know that you can go there and have a look and make copies.
Right.
I don't know if they have digitalized or something.
Okay. I don't really know what the situation
okay.
is there. I would guess that... even if you can scan the maps, there's still a lot of effort into digitizing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
but
sure.
I think that it's probably a case of it's not a compatible license.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get onto the license though, which
okay.
has the set. But I imagine it's just that it's a not compatible license. The Tiger data is public domain, so you
okay.
can do whatever you want. But yeah, that gives you a really good base. I mean, in Liverpool, as you saw from the animation,
mm-hmm.
there was nothing. Well, there was like three roads, and then it's been built up from that. In America, most of the people can come to OpenStreetMap and see some data and can start off by changing typos and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. So makes it a lot easier. So there's some quotes. I won't actually test you on that. I try and get people to guess who made these quotes.
Ooh.
Quite a small audience. But you just missed all the maps there, so there's a map.
Maps.
OpenStreetMap is about free and open maps, and they look really good. So we make beautiful maps and we give them away for free. So some quotes: it's absolutely possible for a bunch of smart guys with the technology we have today to capture street networks and potentially major roads of the UK and minor roads. That was actually the ex-CTO of Ordnance Survey, so Ordnance Survey ex-government organisation that would map the whole country and have done it in very good detail. So he was convinced that this could happen. if you don't make low resolution mapping data publicly available, there will be people with their cars and GPS devices driving around with their laptops. They'll be cataloguing every lane and enjoying it, driving 4x4s behind your farm at the dead of night. There will, if necessary, be a grassroots remapping. And that's Tim Berners-Lee. So he invented the web. He's obviously got some nouns. And then also, you can have a community capability where you take GPS data, people driving around, start to see that there's a new road, you don't have it, that sort of thing. That was actually Bill Gates, so not known for his open credentials, yeah. But he can see that the technology side of this can work. So we hold, as OpenStreetMap, we hold workshops, or having a map as a party, a mapping party. The first of these was held in the Isle of Wight, wouldn't know, it was 4 years ago. And off the south coast of the country. Before the party, this was the only open map, the only free map that was available. It was an ordinary survey map that was over 50 years old, which means that its copyright has expired and it's completely public domain. But it's obviously quite out of date. It's a bitmap, it's very low quality, it's not great. After a single day of going out there, people recorded GPS traces that was a single day's worth of GPS traces taken by various people. And then at the end of the party, they had this map, which is a really nice map, had essentially everything on there. I mean, I think they would have said that was 100% mapped, but then if you compare then to now, it probably looks a lot more detailed, because even then, even when you say it's 100%, there's still something else to do.
Yeah.
We held a mapping party in Liverpool in November 2007. It's quite an old example, but this is the last mapping party I organised. So this is, everybody goes out, starts doing some mapping with their GPSs, getting little bits, come back for lunch. That guy just kept going. Some people go out after lunch. So this is, I mean, I haven't mentioned this already, basically, The way OpenStreetMap has worked a lot is that people take a GPS and their GPS records its position every 5 seconds, every minute even, stores it into memory. When you get home, you load this in and it takes a GPS trace like that. And that's what the map looked like at the end of the map.
Who's transforming the GPS tracks to the actual street if it's a...
It's a manual process. So okay. it's not an automated process, it is manual.
Yeah. But so you have to have some locals who know which street is which.
Yeah, well when you go out with your GPS, you will record information as you go as to which road you're going down at the time, and then you insert that in later.
Okay.
So I mean, which is why it's good to hold mapping parties, because you get a lot of people doing it at once.
Yeah.
I'll explain that. So using OpenStreetMap, the main way that people did it in the past, it's changing a bit now for reasons I'll explain in a second, but the main way that geodata was taken was GPS traces then, so that's the trace of someone going around some roads. It gets uploaded to a website, and then you can see all these traces and you can add information to them, but the most important thing is that the traces are in there. Then you have the data model. So all the data, all those maps you've seen are based on a data model, an actual database, obviously not just pictures. So you have nodes which are a single point on the Earth, latitude and longitude. You have a way, which is an ordered list of nodes. So obviously that's used for things like roads, building outlines, anything that's more than a node essentially is done with a way. You then have relations, which are ways of relating multiple ways and nodes together. So if you want to say that you can't turn from this road onto that road on this point, but you maybe can turn, go the other way, so it's not like they're not connected. They are connected, you're just not allowed to get from one to the other. You would do that using a relation, saying this way to that way, using that way, that node is not allowed. So it's sort of a high level of organising the data.
How much relating things do you connect? Do you connect restaurants and stuff like that, or only
relations?
Always manage to
Relations as a data type are relatively new to OpenStreetMap, so most of the mapping is done with just nodes and ways. If you mean how much information do you put in, people will put in restaurants and they'll put in essentially anything that exists can be put into the database. But it depends, it's obviously more work to map every single building along a road, so generally you wouldn't do that. But you'll pick out the important buildings like the pubs and the post offices and like government buildings. That's the important things will go in there, but maybe not every shop.
Oh, no. Do you need to match Google in this?
Do you need to match it?
I think in one way I think about the sense of it. Where does it go to?
The ultimate aim is to be the richest source of geodata out there, so it would be better than any other source of data. It would be better than a Google Maps or anything like that. But to start, the initial aim is a street map. So just roads, road names is the
first navigation system, for example.
The reason that things like pubs and places of worship and things were mapped from the start is because they're good navigation aids, because they stand out. So anything that helps with navigation also would be mapped. But people are mapping all the shops. Like I say, when things are complete, you can then map more. So if you've mapped all the road network in an area, you can then map all the parks and all the land use. So you say this area is commercial, this area is residential. And then when you've done that, you can do all the footpaths, and then when you've done that, you can do every single building along the road. So you can just collect more and more data.
Have you thought about traffic usage? If you use it for getting the shortest way from A to B, and then include traffic usage. For example, this street is from 4 to 5 every weekdays closed.
I think the common thinking is that's a separate problem, or it's a separate project, database. But people are definitely thinking about it. And obviously OpenStreetMap gives you a great source of data to base that project on. So it'd be very hard to put it into this data model for one thing. So we wouldn't suggest you put it in there.
I was just thinking about when you were talking about the ways and you're tracking it with your GPS, you can also see how fast are you going. For example, if you say I'm by car and you read out the time from one point to another, so how long took the way, you automatically have the information, how fast can I go on this road?
People are thinking about that, but not necessarily as part of the OpenStreetMap project. Okay. Obviously there's a big database of GPS traces there, so that if you wanted to do that, you could base it on the GPS data. People often ask why you don't just automatically calculate the roads from the GPS data, but that's a very hard problem, and the GPS data isn't accurate enough to do that.
There's actually a project to do that.
Is there?
I can't remember why it's called.
With OpenStreetMap or just...
No, not with OpenStreetMap. It's completely separate.
I think these days actually it'd be more feasible because the GPSs have got better. When the project started about 5 years ago, the GPSs tended to be about 100 to 200 metres accuracy. Mm-hmm. These days it's more like 50, the worst. They can get better.
Mine does 3, I think.
So on top of those data types, you have tags. So this is where the real meaning comes in. It's just simple key value pairs. You have as many of them as you want. So on a node, you might say amenity equals place of worship, religion equals Buddhist, and that means a Buddhist temple. Or amenity equals postbox, and that's a postbox. There's a huge number of these and different ones that you can use on any node. On a way, you might have highway equals primary, one way equals yes, name equals such and such. It's essentially free. You can put any tags in that you want, but obviously, if you use the same ones as other people, then they appear on the maps. So people have tended to go for a uniform model for highways. So you have do you actually have highway equals motorway? Which obviously isn't ideal because you only the UK, maybe Australia really calls them motorways, but that's just the way it is at the moment.
Yeah, sure.
But in general,
do you have some different types of motorways, you know, the ones with two roads next to each other, three, four?
You can add other data, so you can say the number of lanes, you can like that, certainly. There's also highway equals motorway, then trunk, then primary, then secondary, and there tends to be a sort of ad hoc mapping of those classifications onto whatever the national classifications are in any particular country. So, like interstate freeways in the US would be motorways, whereas
Autobahn in Germany.
So this is what OpenStreetMap looks like when you go there. It's quite an old map, actually. I'll say for Simon's benefit, he has mapped more of this than it's showing. You get a map just like any mapping website. With this one, you can click on edit and you get this. So this is another way that you can map. This means that you don't actually have to have a GPS anymore.
Okay.
This aerial imagery is provided by Yahoo. They have a special agreement with OpenStreetMap that you can trace on top of their aerial imagery for the use of mapping for OpenStreetMap. So you can't use it for anything else, but you can put it into OpenStreetMap. And this obviously makes things a lot easier and means you don't have to have a GPS to map. And you see the coloured lines on there obviously are the data from OpenStreetMap. I mean, it should tally up quite well with what you see on there. And it's also colour-coded, similar to what you'd see. And then you can go in here and you can click on that. I've selected a way that's highlighted in yellow. All the red dots on it are the nodes that make up that way. And on the bottom you can see the tags that have been specified for that way. So it's a primary, it's a highway primary, the name of it is Deansgate. The reference number is A56. And it's that simple. That's a Flash application, so it will run in most browsers. I think it does run on Nash now, so it runs on free version of Flash, I think.
I haven't seen it working.
Okay, maybe not, but they're trying. But it will work on 95% of the computers out there. There's also a Java app, so this will work on 100%, well, essentially, computers. And this one is slightly different model. It works, the same data model, slightly different sort of interaction model, so you use it in a slightly different way. It generally use this with GPS traces rather than the aerial imagery, though you can load the aerial imagery in. And so you see on the top right, you can see the list of tags again, name equals Deansgate, railway equals station, so that's railway station, and it's in the middle on the bottom, slightly white dot, you might be able to see it. So that's the railway station on the railway line. These are not colour coded, but I think you can have a plugin that is. But you can see how the lines have been drawn on top of the GPS traces, and they follow it quite well. So if you wanted to get involved, go to openstreetmap.org. Go to wiki.openstreetmap.org for more information. I do have lots more slides, but if you want to go for
it. Yes.
Oh yeah, the important question, the license.
Yeah.
It's currently CC by SA, so share alike and attribution. Yeah, by attribution. So you have to specify that it's OpenStreetMap, and you have to give away what you're creating in the same way under the same license. Now this has caused some problems, like the attribution. Are you supposed to attribute the project, or are you supposed to attribute everybody who put the data into this map, or even everybody who put the data into the whole project? Obviously, you wouldn't want that. You don't want to have a little map in a book, and at the end of it, it's got 10,000 names. And the share-alike aspect can be an issue as well, because if you put an OpenStreetMap into a book, does that mean the book is share-alike? Obviously, you're probably not expecting that. You mean that they can photocopy the page or something. So it's actually being changed to the Open Database License, which is more tailored to the actual database itself, because that's really what we're trying to protect more than the individual maps that are created. And the Creative Commons license is not really aimed at databases, so that it's not ideal. But that's an ongoing process. So at the moment, everything's CC by SA, but it's moving towards being open database license.
And did you develop an own license for the
Open database license is currently under development, and so OpenStreetMap have had a heavy involvement in what goes into that. So when it's not our own, but we've had a lot of input into it, so it should be right for us. I think the people, like some of the lawyers that are involved with Creative Commons, have been working on this, so it should be a good license when it's finished. It's not even, that thing's not being finalised yet, so the license isn't ready. So once the license is ready, there'll be a fairly, there'll be a process of moving OpenStreetMap to the new license, so that will come as well. So OpenStreetMap is being used in various places. So this is a company called Nestoria have
a
property website, so you know, find a house to live in or to rent. They've actually been using it for a number of years now for the Isle of Wight. So they were using the Google Maps, but Google didn't have any good mapping on the Isle of Wight, so they simply inserted their tiles for the Isle of Wight, and they've been using that for ages. That's good. But they also, more recently, about a year ago, did a OpenStreetMap-only version of their site, so the entire site just uses OpenStreetMap. And it's a special case thing. It's not their main website, but it's nice to see that they're doing this and seeing that it's a possibility. So, I mean, a lot of places are fully mapped, so this works fine. Some places are not. And the joke is that, obviously, mappers will look at this and buy the houses where there's no data, because they can live there. So that works quite well. This is a cycle-specific map. So on this one, in a way, you don't really care if it's a major road or if it's a... Well, for other reasons, but you don't want to cycle down the major roads, you want to cycle down the cycle routes. So on this, the cycle routes are identified, and the other roads are sort of faded out because they're less important.
You got to do this for motorbikes.
Well, that's the thing with OpenStreetMap, the data's there, so you can do rendering for whatever you want.
That's great.
This is... So unfortunately, I've only got one example of an alternative sort of use case. There's also a map for walkers, so it highlights footpaths and things like that, but I think their website's not at the moment, the free map. He has problems with his servers a lot.
Yeah, but there are a couple of others.
I did have a slide in of freemap.slovenia, but I took it out because I wanted to put his in, and then his doesn't work, so... the thing is that all this data is in there, so you can tailor it to whatever your needs are. Then this is MapMeApp, which is actually my site, so I put it in there. It's a location tracking site, so you can upload your location to this, show your history, share it with your friends.
Like latitude?
Yeah.
Some kind of...
But with history.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And with an API. And with OpenStreetMap. So you can see that's from yesterday. So I'm at home when I took the screenshot, but I've been into Manchester and back. And I went to...
And you Twitter on the way?
I did Twitter on the way, and you can see that from the map. CloudMade is a company started by the founder of the OpenStreetMap project and one of the core contributors to the OpenStreetMap project, and they're trying to commercialise OpenStreetMap, so they're trying to get commercial companies to use it and get a lot more people using it, and obviously make themselves some money in the process. But so they see that OpenStreetMap is a big thing and people should be using it, so they think they can make money off it. One of their main one of the most interesting products they do is the style editor. Well, in fact, they do multiple styles of maps. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Google, you get one map style, or two if you go to Terrain Map, and that's it. Virtual Earth only has one, everybody only has one. They have six by standard, or maybe eight even, just eight by standard. This one's the Midnight Commander. So this is sort of, it's supposed to look sort of like spy, like movie style map, but it looks quite good. It works quite well. So if you imagine, I mean, I could put that into MapMeApp, and you'd have this blinking light showing where you were at any one point. It'd be quite nice. And they have this one, which is the tourist map. But they, on the right-hand side there, you can actually see from tourist upwards is CloudMate's own styles, and below there, they actually have a style editor, so you can go in there and you can make your own style, and you can tailor it to however you want. So this one's showing, generally when you're a tourist, you don't care that much about road names because you just don't know them, but you want to know where the points of interest are. And actually, MapMeApp, not so obvious from that screenshot, but that the map there has been tailored to suit my branding, mm-hmm. because you can do that. And then there's GeoFabric, a German company that are trying to commercialise OpenStreetMap as well, in a similar but different way.
And the book, mention the book. I have the book.
Oh, yes, they do. They've written a book, German language, that's all about OpenStreetMap. And just, do you know much about it? I think it covers OpenStreetMap, the history and the project and how the project works and that sort of thing. So. But it's in German and I don't speak German.
Shall I translate it?
I don't think they've done a translated version. Or they've
It's been talked about, hasn't it? Must have been, yeah.
But obviously they're making money off it, which shows it's possible. There's a bookmarklet that you can get, so you click on this bookmark, and then it puts OpenStreetMap into any mapping website,
mm-hmm.
kind of. It works in Multimap. It works with Google Maps mashups, not with the actual Google Maps site, unfortunately. So this is the geocaching website, which have Google Maps on there. So if you click this button, you get OpenStreetMap, which is often more use when you're geocaching, because you'll be in the countryside or something, and Google Maps are not so good. It works with Virtual Earth, that's just a site that happens to use Virtual Earth. And OpenStreetMap are doing routing, and that has car, bike, foot routing. So obviously the rules change if you're on foot, it doesn't matter if the road is one way or not. CloudMate actually do their own routing. There's a number of people working on routing engines on OpenStreetMap data. That's just showing GPS traces. There's all the GPS traces in Europe. The little bright dot on the top left of England is Liverpool. This was taken about a year ago, though. That's the links to demos, so that'll be in the slides for later. Oh, I'll probably do that in a second if you want. We're also collecting postcodes, but this is very UK-centric. It's the postcode database in the UK is also proprietary, and you have to pay large amounts of money for it. So Free the Postcode simply collects a latitude, a longitude, and the postcode, and that's it. And it works. And there's an iPhone app that I wrote that has also caused a great increase in the number of submissions to Free the Postcode, because it's so much easier to do. You just take your phone out, get a lock, and then you type the postcode in, submit it, and you're done. Whereas normally you'd have to go somewhere, have your GPS, write down the lat long, correct waypoint. When you get home, you can submit it. I mean, all in the iPhone app is quite easy.
Can you open this for worldwide?
I don't know. Well, potentially, yeah. I think there is a Norwegian version.
Okay.
And obviously, yeah,
I've got a friend, he's interested in developing iPhone apps since he got an iPhone.
Right.
And I think this would be a really good start.
The source code for that app is open source, so if he wants to get that just to learn how to write apps, then yeah.
Okay.
I
have free the postcode, great.
And that just shows how much data has been collected. It's not very representative, because obviously for postcodes the most important thing is very granular data, but it shows that people are collecting data all over the country. And State of the Map is happening. It's the third, they're having an annual conference for the third time this year. It's been bigger and bigger each year. The first conference was actually in Manchester, it was just around the corner from here, near Manchester Uni. Second one was in Ireland, third one is in Amsterdam. the tickets, if you're interested in going, the tickets are on an early bird discount until tomorrow. So if you do want to come, you're welcome to come soon. You're going to book the ticket soon. But it's usually a really good weekend. It's pretty cheap. I think €80 for the cheapest ticket. And that gets you Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Friday is sort of a business day, so if you think you might be interested in the business uses, you can go to that. If you're not, you can just go to the weekend.
Okay.
And that's more about...
State of the now?
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome.
Big round of applause. So, are you interested in seeing how to edit?
Yeah.
Apart really, from that, it's not really worth doing it on a big screen.
I'm still misusing Google Maps for, you know, covering my holiday and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do still use Google Maps. Of course, I use Google Maps a lot of the time. Because OpenStreetMap doesn't have 100% coverage yet.
I just thought about we were in Corse, I think it's called. The French island next to Italy.
Oh, okay.
In Germany it's called Corsica.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, Corsica. Okay. And we were riding around with a motorbike 3,000 kilometers on that island. And I think I'll have a try and upload it.
Yeah.
So we had a GPS with us, and we were tracking all the time.
Yeah, so you probably will need to come out here if you want to.
Yeah, sure.
So that's actually Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there an iPhone tracking app?
There is one, but it's not free.
Well, it looks good. Don't have that much coverage.
So this one?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, not
that bad.
Forests are easier to do. You can automate that off the aerial. This thing, a lot of the time you're finding that you get in there and actually get some data. It's not that.
You can tentacles at the end of a...
But there's no road names, which is unfortunate. This is a slight problem with the aerial imagery, is that people trace the aerial imagery remotely,
but they don't
do anything else. So it appears that you've mapped, that areas are more mapped than they are. I mean, that happens in Liverpool as well.
Is that sea border?
Country border.
20 miles.
20 miles away, yeah. So Liverpool, a lot of this area, I think, has only been done from the aerial imagery. So you look at that and you think, oh wow, that's really well mapped. But if we zoom in, I mean, I might be wrong, or I might zoom into the wrong place, but...
Okay.
So, actually, someone still needs to go there, but it's not immediately obvious that they do, because... You look at it and think, oh, that's it, that's okay, I'll go somewhere else.
Have you thought about some kind of game?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the... Google has developed a game to tag photos.
A friend of mine was talking about that, and how you just... Yeah, an online game where you play, it's like, you have to go out and map 10 road names or 10 post boxes or things like that. I don't think a lot... People aren't really doing that on OpenStreetMap. I mean... Half the time, people get interested enough to just do it anyway.
Yeah, right.
But
find your home street on the map or something, and then the people zoom in and find it and tag it, and then you have a street name.
Well, I suppose that's things. Yeah. That's the good thing. That is the good thing about the aerial imagery, is that you don't have to... I mean, now that that's there... If we just let these people know that this map is here, then they might be willing to go and fix it. I mean, we're going to have another mapping party in Liverpool, and as part of that we'll probably get the local newspaper involved,
mm-hmm.
and they'll put an article out, and then if we point out to people, if they look at the map and their road name's not there,
mm-hmm.
they can fix it, then hopefully people will do that. So I'm not logged in. So you have to have an account.
Okay.
Large difference to Wikipedia, but
it's
not a big detail.
Have you thought about OpenID?
Yes.
For login, because it's much easier and the people don't need to create something and give away their email address for whatever.
I think a slight issue with that would be that we kind of want to know people's email address.
Yeah.
So that because
But then you have their home page.
Because you don't want people being able to automatically create fake accounts and being able to upload the copyrighted data and you can't get rid of it. So we are about here.
Mm-hmm.
If I click on edit then. Yes, you have to be very careful. When you edit data in here, it literally edits it in the database instantly.
Okay.
So be very careful. If you want to just have a play, you can click on play and then you can drag that over there and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you want to actually edit,
you click on start.
Yeah. And that will be okay. So this imagery is a little bit old, although it's not too bad. So this is, I think this is, well, the university place is there, isn't it? It'd be nice. You know the building at the end of the road, University Place. Were you here yesterday?
The round building.
Yeah. So that's about there. Unfortunately, it's quite new. So, but we can create a node there. It'd be nice to draw a building out there, but a node would do. So we can say, what would we say? Actually, I'll cancel that and have a look at a different one. So Amin's People's University is one type. Actually, what we can do is, because we've clicked on that tab, that node, and now we click on that one, and press R, and it will copy the tags behind it. And put in that's it. So that's in there. We've created a new node. And now, actually, well, obviously not literally now, but I'm not sure when this is updated, probably every few days, maybe once a week, but you'd be able to put in University Place called Manchester.
Okay, and then, if I want to name a road, then I click the start and end point or something?
Just click anywhere on the road. And then you can type something in.
How does he know where the road ends and starts?
Right, so so when you create a new road, if you just be careful, not just playing. if I start from maybe stopping here, over here, if you just click on the map, it does that at once. If you clicked on there again, it would make it a node like that. But if you click somewhere else, it creates another node, and that's now away. Another one. Press. You either click on the same node again to end, or press enter, and that's it.
That's one street then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I can also click on a node and drag the street further.
Yeah.
So continue the road.
Oh yeah. So I can drag that node if it's not quite right.
Yeah.
But yeah. I can also, if I just click on that again.
Yeah.
It will do that and then.
Great.
In this case, we do actually need to connect it to there. Press enter, and that's finished. So now you can press plus, bottom right, type in highway, functionway. It auto completes, makes it a lot easier. What else can we say?
Do you have internationalization for this, or not yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
And the keys are intentionally, I think, going to stay English, but the that it will get translated. There is also these presets, so if you click through here, it's quite low, isn't it? You get the little guy, click on there, you can say public footpath, permitted path actually, because it's a university property, probably not public footpath, and it's a highway equals footway, footage was permissive. Because it's a great way of saving you having to know too much about the tanks. If you click just off that, and that's it, we've created a new way. And that's actually that's navigable as well now. So because we connected that one to that one.
Yeah.
And if you try to get here, it would route you down this road, this footpath now as well, if you were doing footpath routing. Yeah, one important thing is that though this goes into the database live, a lot of things are not generated from the live database. So the maps you see are generated. The delay, actually, these days has got a lot better, the delay by about an hour or two.
Okay.
Which, if you think about something like Google Maps or what's that, is just incredible. Like, literally, you can make a change. If you go and look at that this evening, I mean, you know, things can delay the process, but in theory, if you look at that this evening, it's although it actually is this evening already, but it will be there. It's that quick. So the searching on the left-hand side, I don't know how often that is. The routing, again, I don't know. There's every week on Wednesday, the whole database is dumped into a single XML file.
Okay.
And so most of the things depend on that file. So usually, at the most, it'll be once a week. But some things are getting better than they are in near instant. I mean, there's a chance that I'll go back to the editor, back to the bureau in a few minutes' time, and that'll be there, but it probably won't.
But if you can see the changes the next day, that's
yeah.
I once tried to correct a company address in Google Maps.
Right.
You click on it and you say it's wrong, and they say, well, send us an email, give us the coordinates.
Yeah.
I did. They didn't correct it onto the map.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And if you're a company, you receive a letter with a code. You have to enter that the information is right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's strange. But the thing is, I mean, it's an important thing to note, because I'm telling you this is wonderful, our data is current. You might do some editing. You look at the map and it's not there, and so you might have the same feeling, but. If you know that it's only going to take a few hours or a few days, then that's still amazing. So if you want to edit an existing way...
I mean, wouldn't it be good to have some kind of small notice, like when you finish editing, like your data will be updated within the next hours?
I think it's in... I mean, if we get to help and wiki, beginner's guide... Probably is in here, but it's... It's probably a case of you've got to go through so many levels that you wouldn't actually notice, because people still ask that question.
But this, I study media science, we are all about usability and... The thing is usable. It's really, really good. I actually thought it was much more complex.
Right.
No,
it's
but
possible,
you narrowed it down.
If you click on, so this is the main road.
Mm-hmm.
If you shift click on there, it will insert a new node.
Oh, cool.
We can then.
Two.
You can drag that around. Or what we want to do is we need to connect that footpath to the main road. So if you
You need some point that is the connection.
Yes, that's an important point. You need to connect anything that is physically connected, and then so that the routing can work.
Yeah.
If you shift click on that node, it will now start drawing a new way. Go down here. That joins onto that node. We can keep going. I'm kind of making an assumption here that it goes through there, but it's probably right. And if it's not, it's a wiki, someone will fix it. So you click on that one and click on there just to copy the time across.
Yeah.
That's it. Drag that. I think that was a little bit wrong, so I'll drag that up. Shift click again. Right down here. Because there's 2 footpaths outside this building. And then there's a little bit.
just outside the entrance to this building where it goes straight across. So, do that. And that's it. And so we've now mapped the footpaths right here. It's that simple. You can do building outlines, which I should be careful about doing around here because a lot has changed, but.
We're in that building. I hope it's still there.
When I'm doing this, obviously, I need to be careful because if I overlap an existing
Then
it'll show up, and obviously the building's not connected to the footpath like that. Like, it kind of is, but it isn't. So I'll try not to connect and finish that off.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Now you can tell it's a building.
Yeah. It is a university building, so I can do that. But also, it's worth putting in building equals.
Yes. No.
Well, it could be university. You can say building equals yes as a generic one if you don't really know what the building is, and that means it gets marked on the map. But if you know what the building is, you can also add a usage. Put name equals. Humanities.
Humanities Bridgeford.
Yes. That's all good. If we have the postcode, you can put that on. Maybe the number of stories. Because there's a hole in the building there, you can actually say that this polygon has a hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we use relations to do that, but I actually don't know how to do that. So I've not really used relations, have I? Maybe just have a go.
Hard to do it in part match, but...
Do you know what the name of the relation is? Well, I should be able to find out. So that's sort of the size of the hole. Add to relation. Create a new relation. Okay. Fine. Hopefully I haven't just... I don't have it. There we go. Right, so this is where you should use the guide.
Yeah.
So the most important thing in the wiki is map features.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that. It tells you these are all the tags that people are already using. These are all tags that they are using. And so if you use something that's on here, it will probably show up on the map. Searching for polygon. It's not showing up.
You want that page for relations to polygon.
So, step by step guide. Create the outer way, direction doesn't matter, tag it as appropriate. Create the inner. Old ways. Direction does not matter. Do not tag them. Okay. Select the outer way and click on the symbol on the right side, which looks like 2 chains 7. So I've deleted that relationship now. So we click on that. Okay. So type
multicolored.
Now there's an additional field that looks different from the other key value input field. This field describes the role of the type of the outer field.
Click OK after.
So that's that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a new one.
Order.
This field describes the role of the way. Type in the word outer field, outer way. So that's that. Select one of the inner ways and click on the chain link symbol. Do not select to create a new relation, but instead select your creative relation and drop that in. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So,
Okay, same for email.
Yeah, type in email. And that's it.
Great.
There we go. See, I'm learning things as well.
Yeah.
And so we could continue doing that for all these buildings. And that that is actually one thing that gets quite... there is a medical warning on OpenStreetMap, but it is very addictive. Once you start, you just can't stop. And building tracing is one of the things, because I guess I've not really gotten to road tracing, but like I say, I know that you have to go out there, and I don't like putting all these roads with no names in.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't tend to do that, but buildings, you can put buildings in, because the names are then less important.
Yeah, but so. Also the buildings, you know, kind of, if I would start with my university, I know all the buildings, and then I can name them.
Yeah.
And no, that's
and also like parks as well. So it gets very easy to just start clicking, click. It's a bit shaded, and I'm making a bit of a guess because I don't know this area, but unless you're called a pitch or land use. Recreation ground. It was sort of greenish.
That's Park Trinity High School.
I'm going to just call this building equals yes, but it's probably school. If you know that, then we can do it right. Let's see, it's very easy to just start typing in and then the whole evening is gone. There you go. Johnson, I don't actually have Johnson on here. We've only got 10 minutes, haven't we? Do you have any questions? Do you have any more questions?
I need to start. I really need to start.
It's
just addictive from looking at it.
Yeah. So, where do you spend most of your time?
At the moment, Ilmenau, is Germany.
Okay.
Kind of there.
There's some big gaps there.
It's a technical university there. Very much interested.
So, where do you live?
Out there. Here. And the coast. This is...
It's really not.
Yeah.
But, what is this? It's not here. Oh, I know. So, one of the newer things for mapping is posting address data. So, this is. So, there's this. Formatting addresses, so we can put it in maybe Apple Post.
Are you done with the presentation?